B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Table and say, well, everybody cheats. Yeah, thanks, okay? These guys did it elaborately. They got caught, and they won a World Series in the process. All right, so thanks for really not contributing anything. We already know that. But when you think about the Pete Rose thing, I this does nothing for me in the Pete Rose. I am so done with that conversation. And whenever it gets brought up and I hear callers bring it up, I thought our guy was going right there, I just roll my eyes at it. I don't care about Pete Rose. I used to. And then he sold a book and said he admitted that he cheated on baseball, but not his own team. Whatever. And then the whole scandal 3 years ago, was it now? 2 years ago?
Yeah,
with,
something like that.
The 14-year-old girl that he had an affair with when he thought she was 16? Yeah. Okay. You're doing a great job there, Pete.
Yeah.
I'm not doing you any favors. Yeah, I'm not
Pete
picking
can,
up.
Pete can go away.
Yeah, I'm done with it. Dante, then. Oh, real fast. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. Dante in the Northeast. Hey, buddy.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's Dante? What's up, Dante?
So I was listening earlier when Adam Schefter was on the phone, and you said you would give up a second or a third round pick for Darius Slay.
Yes.
Am I okay? So let me ask you this then, right?
Yep.
If Stephon Diggs is available for trade, right? Would you value Stephon Diggs over the Darius Slay or Darius Slay over Stephon Diggs?
Stephon Diggs over Darius Slay.
Okay, because I just wanted to, you know, I would see if they would take an Alshon Jeffery in the second round pick for Stephon Diggs rather than go to Darius Slay route. I mean, just because you still have Byron Jones out there, Jalen Mills is a free agent, and plus you're getting younger in return, and you won't have to worry about a contract extension until 2024. Instead of having to, you know, deal with that now.
Right. No, I think, but just to go back to your original point, I think when we went around the horn, we're all in favor of Stephon Diggs over Darius Slay, just to make sure that's clear.
Now, let me ask you this. If Stephon Diggs isn't available for trade, would you still give that second round pick for Darius Slay?
I want to have an instant upgrade on my team. And look, I haven't been exactly hitting the ball out of the park with my draft picks anyway, and I know I'm going to have to redo almost my entire secondary, so why not bring in one of the best in the game right now?
I get what you're saying, but you don't think that's a second-round pick is a little bit too much for a 29-year-old guy who wants a contract extension? And like one of your previous callers said, you want to get younger. And a 29-year-old guy who's going to enter age 30 by this upcoming season isn't getting any younger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree with you, but I do want to have that instant upgrade. Like, well, I'm trying to get better instantaneously. That's why I'm prioritizing Diggs over Slay, but I still want to get better, and I'm rehauling my secondary anyway.
I got you. I agree with you. I just don't think that Darius Slay would, if I was Harry Roseman, I don't think he would be in my plans just yet.
Mm-hmm.
For the simple fact is, I'm not sure if I want to give him that a contract extension at this age that he's at now.
Right.
And you're just trying to portray that you want to get younger.
Well, either way, you're locking. See, here's the thing. If you're bringing up the contract part of it, either way, you're locking up a deal. It's going to be 3 to 5 years. That's about $14 million per.
I'd rather give that to Byron Jones. I'm sorry.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'd rather give that to Byron Jones. And then, I mean, I think Jalen Mills would be a great number two at your cornerback position. So I'd rather go after Jalen Mills as your number two and Byron Jones for your one.
Okay.
I mean, the Darius Slay thing, I like him. I wouldn't be mad if we got him. But at that point, I'd rather give up a third-round pick than a second-round pick.
You're not going to find anybody to disagree with that, Dante. Thanks for the call, man. But no, that's right. You'd go Diggs over Slay?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. You always, for whatever reason, you know what it is. It's all about putting points up on the board. So you're going to always prioritize weapons for the offense over defense. So you want to give Carson as many weapons as you can give him. Then you look over on the defense side of the ball, and if you got enough money left, all right, cool. We see what we can get, you know. But
it just makes me nervous that even though the draft is supposed to be very heavy in wide receivers, it just makes me nervous when it's Howie with his finger on the button and final say, and who comes here and all that. That worries the hell out of me.
Yeah, if you could get 3 good years out of a wide receiver, whether it be a kid you drafted or a 26-year-old Stephon Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with the known quantity. I mean, I'm going Stephon Diggs all day, all night.
Right, and he's around the same age as your quarterback, 26, 27
years old.
Yeah. 26 now, be 27 in November.
Right.
So, yeah, I'd be in that same.
The fact that he's never happy does give me some concern.
Well, that, no, that
like he publicly called out his quarterback last year.
Mm-hmm.
He called, and they've been a successful team. Like, they have a lot of talent there in Minnesota. It's not like he's on the Browns and being a malcontent. He's in a successful situation.
Mm-hmm. And the funny thing was, he did it, and it was almost like, oh, good for him doing it, because he got better and the team got better after he did it. Like, they really started going to him.
You like that?
So, yeah. I hear you on
weird.
That, Gene. I hear you on that.
It's a little weird.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's almost comforting to me that he's a malcontent. Because you know why? He doesn't do it anonymously. It's like, oh, I wonder who's talking.
Wow. If you did want to go opposite of Alshon, that would be the polar opposite.
But I do like the wide receivers that are rather outspoken because they also tend to be pretty good at football.
He is very good. He's a great route runner. He's fast. He's talented.
He's very similar. He can catch. He is very similar to DeSean Jackson in that he can run that slant and take it the other 50 yards for a touchdown, or he could just run 60 yards down the side of the field and it's a touchdown, as we did find out in that little game against the Vikings this past season. Him and Thielen as well, I believe. Like,
yeah.
Those guys, they're pretty talented. I'd love to see Stephon Diggs in a Eagles uniform.
Would you give up a one for him?
I wouldn't give up a
21st overall.
If the draft wasn't as deep as this one is, and why I was like, I don't like doing this anyway. The only reason that I'm even considering it right now with the Eagles is because you've had such a bad history of drafting wide receivers anyway.
Yeah. I mean, what's your confidence that they're going to draft? If they keep 21 and they go wide receiver at 21, what's your confidence that that guy's going to step in
right.
and have a productive first two seasons that Stephon Diggs would give you had he come here for two seasons?
Yeah, I think I'd be more in the realm of the second round pick.
Yeah,
is where I'd go here. Sure. I'd want to hold on to that first round pick, if not for a wide receiver, for something else. But it's just that Howie's track record, especially recently, has not been that good.
No.
Yeah. As much as I'd hate to push a guy like maybe Greg Ward aside, if Alshon comes back, if Deshaun comes back, you have Greg Ward already here. Nelson's gone. We already know that. JJ, I think a Whiteside isn't going anywhere anytime soon. Like, it's not exactly the best wide receiving room right now in the league. Let's get to Lou in Newtown. Lou, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Good, Lou.
I wanted to bring up about the Houston Astros. If I don't know if this was said before, but if Lesson Manfred doesn't do anything to the players starting when going into the first game, I think that every single batter that comes up gets binged until the umpire either has to forfeit the game or the other team has no more pitchers. And the other team's going to be like, what, you're going to punish us and not punish the biggest cheaters of all time? I think that'll make the biggest impact ever.
So one team that didn't cheat gets suspended or gets in trouble because they policed the game when the commissioner didn't.
Exactly. Exactly right.
I'm going to tell you right now, just from a talk radio standpoint, I'm not against it. From a baseball standpoint, I mean, I don't think that's the way it's going to go down. I think throughout baseball, you're going to get teams policing it, not in a matter of everybody getting hit, but I wouldn't be opposed to it. It would add to some good conversation, Lou.
No, it'll be the greatest game. It'll be must-watch TV every single time. until Lesson Manfred does something.
Like, I'm like thinking about the highlights of the game of just one guy after another getting plunked.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Well, pitchers would get thrown out, so you could only do it for about, you know.
Yeah, but if every pitcher,
exactly. team and then matters. They have to forfeit because they have no more pitchers left.
Yeah. Yeah. Or position players. If it's Gabe Kapler's managing, if it's the San Francisco Giants, the game's going to go on a long time.
They may line up as like, oh, me next. I want to hit the next bat.
Lou, thanks for the call, buddy.
Yeah, no problem.
Hey, we're Luke, real quick.
No.
Are you a Guns N' Roses fan?
Yeah, I am, actually.
Hey!
See?
Luigi, you want to go see Guns N' Roses, my friend?
That'd be awesome.
Guns N' Roses coming to Citizens Bank Park July 8th with special guest appearance by Smashing Pumpkins for the North American Tour. Go to Ticketmaster.com right now to purchase your tickets. I think that's the best idea. We talked about an octagon. We talked about players hitting each other, but not to that extent. That's a great ride. Lou, you just want some Guns N' Roses tickets. Boom, just like that. And Bob's vehemently against it.
Just keep hitting batters until you have to forfeit the game.
Why not? That's creative. Uh-huh. We haven't heard that one yet.
Yeah, that's interesting.
We have reached the end of ideas.
Yeah, we really have.
We have reached the end of ideas. That's where it ends. Oh. But when you have a commissioner that can't police it, and you have a league that can't police it, and here's this is what people can't lose sight of. And the it's always fun to rip on the commissioners, right? Whether that be Gary Bettman or whether that be Roger Goodell, it's always fun to rip the commissioner. But let's not forget how much power the Players Association, the union, has over Major League Baseball.
It's the most powerful union perhaps in all of America.
How powerful is it? You literally had the biggest cheating scandal in the history of the game, and no players are punished. Because the union's like, yeah, no. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to do? Okay, immunity. Deal with it.
A multi-million dollar cheating scandal.
Multi-million dollar cheating scandal. World Series trophy awarded. And they went to another World Series, which fortunately they lost. But they went to another World Series. And everyone's fine. They said they were sorry. So we're like, hey.
But they really meant it.
We Gucci.
You can see it in their faces, Mark.
Yeah, right.
They really meant it.
That's the thing. People wanted to jump to the conclusion of whether or not they were sincere. I don't care if they were sincere or not. It's the fact that nothing's going to happen to them from this point out anyway.
Have we seen the tattoo yet?
Yeah, he did go into the clubhouse without a shirt on the other day.
I know, but no one has seen the tattoo.
It's actually just it's a buzzer.
It's a tattoo of a buzzer.
I think he ran to a tattoo artist wherever the hell they are in spring training. Which, I don't know, dude. Just put something terrible on there and quit. It's like a unicorn.
It's a Hello Kitty.
It's a My Little Pony.
It's a show pony.
Yeah. It's a show pony.
In latex.
In latex, yeah.
With a ball gag. I don't know.
I think... This is so nice. I like when the remix drops in the middle of it. That's how you know you got to go out and buy some My Little Ponies.
Did you know about bronies?
Here it is. Here it is. This is like when My Little Pony gets all up in your face.
Trey, here's a movie for you. It's about bronies.
About bronies.
A group of grown men that love My Little Pony.
Hmm.
And they dress up and they do each other's hair. And they do makeup, and they have gatherings and support groups.
Wow.
And there's a whole movie about them. The bronies.
Hmm. Yeah, no.
You're good on that?
Yeah, I'm passing on that.
Okay. No, I'm throwing it your way in case you were wondering.
Yeah. Feels like it's going to get a little weird.
Yeah, oh, it's going to get weird.
Yeah. Double dragons, I don't know.
I remember that movie, actually.
Yeah.
I didn't see it, but I remember people talking about it.
I didn't see it either.
You know what's funny, though? It's no Captain Ron. I'll tell you that
much. No, it's not. Kurt Russell, I mean, that was a performance for the ages.
What won the Academy Award for Best Picture that year?
It should have been Captain Ron.
It should have been Captain Ron.
I'll have to look it up.
I'm pretty sure it was Forrest Gump. I'm not kidding. I think it is. All right. So we've been talking about the Astros cheating scandal a lot. We've been talking about Stephon Diggs, and we've been talking about Darius Slay, you know, how that could help the Eagles and all that. The other thing that we haven't gotten to too much in the baseball world is the Phillies, the second half of their rotation.
It was Silence of the Lambs.
It's a pretty good movie.
Not bad. It's no Captain Ron.
It's okay. I'm pretty sure in the movie Captain Ron was putting lotion on his skin at one point. Anyway.
Suntan lotion,
of course. I think we hit the over for Captain Ron references during the show. But the second half of the rotation here, after Aaron Nola and after Zach Wheeler, who, Bob, I will say, it can still be a question mark. We acknowledge that. But then you have Jake Arrieta. Then you have Zach Eflin. And then according to our new skipper, Joe Girardi, it is going to be a fight, a competition, to see whether Nick Pivetta or Vince Velasquez wins the fifth starter role in this rotation. Let the games begin for who's going to be your fifth starter. Does that seem like something that's a good thing? Does that seem like, it's really a lesser of two evils?
No, it started to get really bad when you started with Jake Arrieta as number three pitcher. That's when it really started to go downhill. And how about Arrieta coming out yesterday saying, no, I really like this new pitching coach we have because they've been teaching us to throw high heat lately, and I'm not a high heat pitcher. I like it low. I like
low and outside.
Low and outside. So, wait a minute. I'm sorry. You've known how to get people out in baseball. You've won a Cy Young. You've won a World Series. You're a highly successful pitcher doing what you do, and now somebody else comes in and says, no, throw it high, and you listen to them?
He didn't listen. He said it's nice to hear basically support of what each guy does. The new narrative in baseball is you got to throw high.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's going to eliminate the home runs or whatever. And everybody's not made to do that because not everybody throws mid-90s with the 12-6 curve.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's just saying it's refreshing to not hear a narrative push, blanketly to everyone, and it's nice to have coaches support what each player does individually.
Throwing away and outside. I don't think he was down and out.
Yeah, he wasn't saying like, oh, I started throwing high because they told me to throw high. It was saying
that was their narrative.
It was refreshing to hear in camp, do what you do best.
That's good. Here's where I found this to be. The Phillies are the only team in Major League Baseball that's going to throw low and away. Here's what it got me thinking, kind of taking a step further. If that's what they're telling Jake Arrieta, who's a Cy Young Award winner and has some clout in the league, at least, you know, just from his mental approach to the game, right? Forget about the numbers, how well he's done recently. But, like, the guy knows how he wants to pitch. Right? A pitching coach, you would think, doesn't need to say that much to him. But even if he's suggesting to a guy who's had success in the past doing things his way, what does that say about a hitting coach and how they're handling the hitters? Like, if a pitching coach has that much influence, especially on the younger guys in a rotation, what is a bad... Like, is it maybe all the stuff said about Rhys Hoskins and messing with his head and his approach at the plate, launch angle and all that... Maybe they really were mixed signals. Maybe it was telling him to get away from doing one thing to focus on doing something else, and that's where he overextended. Now, that could be a reach, but if Jake Arrieta is saying, wait, these guys are trying to pound it in my head to throw high in the zone, then what are they telling the hitters about their approach to hitting? If that's what they're telling Jake Arrieta about his approach to pitching, what are the coaches telling the hitters about their approach to hitting?
That's a good point.
It's just mind-blowing when you think about it.
I think the biggest upgrade the Phillies got was the new pitching coach.
Yeah.
Chris Young was way over his head.
CY.
Dude, my buddy CY. Did he go out with him out to San Fran?
I don't think so. Okay. I feel like I would have seen that.
Yeah, but I keep screwing it up. I want to say Brian Singer. It's Brian Price.
Yeah.
The new pitching coach. Incredibly well-respected. I think it's the best upgrade they had, honestly.
We feel like we brought in good pitchers and good pitching coaches to help out this team.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I'm very much looking forward to see if anybody can take a next step. Maybe Eflin can put it together for 5 months for once instead of just two.
If Joe Girardi says there's going to be a fight for the fourth and fifth rotation, then there's going to be a fight. Watch out.
Doug in York. What's up, Doug?
Kermit.
What? No, that's not Kermit. That's sure Philly's gentleman. Like Matt Kletak. What are you talking about? Uh-huh. Like, you guys and your stories. It's crazy. Uh-huh. What's up, Doug?
How are you?
Douglas, all what's right. up? Oh, good, buddy.
Hey, good. Sorry, you said Doug there and kept talking. I didn't know if you were talking to me or not.
Well, we're talking to you now, Doug, in good old York. Anywhere near New Freedom in York?
Yeah, a couple minutes.
Nice.
2 minutes. I want to talk, first of all, I want to see the rest of the baseball, but first of all, I want to talk about Ben Simmons. You know, it was on the whole thing where he got to shoot the ball and everybody, whatever, but, you know, the more we watch these games and we're fans, it's not like we read articles or listen to you guys in the morning and kind of draw an opinion from that.
Mm-hmm.
We watch the game.
Yeah, you watch the game. You do your own homework.
Absolutely. And, you know, having kids play basketball and being around it pretty much my whole life, I just, you know, I understand the whole psych of he doesn't want to do it. I understand coaches want him to do it, fans want him to do it, media wants him to do it. It's one of those things, though, that if you do the right things around there, and I think with Al Horford sitting on the bench and coming off the bench, that's going to free up a lot more. And if you've noticed that just the two games or, you know, even with the All-Star game, which I understand it's an All-Star game, but... You know, left to do what his skill set is and what he was brought in for. I mean, everybody said when he was going to get drafted or he did get drafted, you know, we've got to work on a jump shot. I don't think the day goes by that we don't still think or say that. But look at the results of what we're getting. He's maturing a little bit, and hopefully the relationship with Joel, whatever that may be, continues to improve.
They're best friends. They are best friends. Do you see how they post on social media? They're besties.
Oh, yeah. Kind of like Trey and Scrotum. They're best friends. I guess. But anyway, hey, how you doing, Trey?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Just a little side note. I eat, sleep, and breathe Penn State football. And, you know, you get these guys with some of these other teams kind of take a liking to, or you watch and say, wow. We're going back a lot of years. I'm 50 years old, but I guess it's the whole Florida State thing. And then... coming up through the Eagles, it was just fun to watch. I was on board with that from the beginning, and you know, never had a chance to talk to you. But we got to get together and do a strip club talk, Scrotum.
Anytime, man. Anytime.
The Whole Food. The Whole Food is strip club.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's right.
Talking about the scrotums.
Some of the other stuff, you know, it's important. Sports are important, but, you know, we got some other stuff we got to do.
Come on, no, we got to talk about scrotums, Doug. Come on. Forget about sports for a second.
Talk about scrotums.
Yeah.
No,
I'm just saying is all.
Go to the line. Yeah,
what kind of contract do you find there? I mean, do you make friends there? I mean, you got to have that negotiation there. You know, everyone takes a two-year deal with these scrotal, commercials and what have you. But you know what?
Right.
That's a lot of balls, Trey, and I'll give
that to you. Sorry, Doug. Thanks for the call, man.
Got to be willing to lay them on the line, man.
Look what you did.
Hey, man, you got to put the things on tape, baby. Let's go.
Look what you did.
Let's go.
I don't know what that was. Like, every once in a while, we go into a rabbit hole, and then we got to transition out. There was no transition there. It was like, I really like Penn State football, your scrotum. What? That was a interesting.
Train and scrotums just got asked out on a date.
We respect scrotums in 2020.
Yeah, that's right, man. It's all about beautifying. Mm-hmm. You know, making sure that you're presenting beautifully everywhere. Then we go hit the ladders one day on the organic day.
I went to him because it said Phillies on the board. And we were talking Phillies. I'm like, oh, this will fit in nicely here. And next thing I know,
scrotum talk.
That, you know,
it's a good call.
The things that we'll, you know, the things we learn. We're in a good place. By the way,
Aaron Nola also backed up Arrieta's comments as well.
See, they're messing with people's heads. That's all they got to stop doing that.
This damn CY was a problem.
He was a big problem.
Bobby.
It's a big issue.
Zach Eflin, this is the breakout year, Bobby. Okay.
Tell you, man, undefeated.
You ride that horse, Jamie.
I'm gonna
with the latex.
I don't think a mini horse could hold me.
Miniature. Yeah, your feet would be on the ground.
Yeah.
Your feet
well,
would
I was
so
thinking,
the horse.
Yeah, I was thinking more about the horse's spine.
No, latex is what holds us together. So he's doing fine. By the way, there was a cup holder on that horse on the plane.
Yes.
Sure. There was a cup holder.
Where are you gonna put your latte, Mark? You got a mini horse there.
Sorry, these are the problems I don't have. Where do I put my latte? It's not an issue, unfortunately. It's not a latte in my fine travel mug that I have every day that people now hashtag MarkSip on Twitch. Thank you. But anyway, so that's where we are right now on the Phillies rotation is that it's going to be a dogfight between Vince Velasquez and Nick Pavetta. Or a horse fight, and for what we've been talking about today, for the purposes of that, it is going to be a miniature pony fight to get the fifth spot in the pitching.
And by the way,
CY
is the Cubs bullpen pitching coach now.
Well, the Cubs had a good run while it lasted, so good for them, more or less. But back to this, to get to what we were talking about there a second ago with the Sixers and Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons here, I am now going to force a new narrative. I'm going to force this. I'm going to let you know I'm forcing it.
All right.
And because I believe it is so stupid to go in one drastic direction, the only way to set the course straight is to go drastically the other direction, and hopefully we arrive back in the middle. And that is when everyone's pushing the hate narrative between Ben and Joe, that they don't like each other, they don't like playing with each other, and that they, by the way, can't coexist. I'm going to force it the complete opposite direction. And Joel Embiid, I feel, as well as Ben Simmons on the court, they're going to continue to only give us more evidence that those two actually love each other.
I'm proposing an Allen Iverson, Dwayne Wade hug every game. Did you see the Dwayne Wade Iverson hug?
It was embracing.
Yeah. That was long. And Wade, you can tell, like, the pat on the back. Okay, we're done.
Yeah. No.
Okay, come on, we're done.
AI is emotional.
He wouldn't let go.
No. Because you know why? Because he loves too hard, just like he told us.
He does.
He loved too hard.
Yeah. So I'm looking for that every game from them. Maybe right after introductions.
Watching that hug.
Something.
You know what word came to mind? Enveloped. That's what word came to mind. Yeah. I was like, hey, that is a beautiful moment where one man is enveloping another. It's a beautiful thing.
It's awesome.
It was beautiful. You love love, Trey.
You gotta love love.
I feel that Ben and Joe are gonna make, to prove Bob's theory, that those two are gonna do a little extra to show how much they really do appreciate each other.
I do.
I think that's gonna happen from here on out. It's gonna be like after the All-Star game that Allen Iverson won the MVP award and he said, where's my coach? I love my coach. Where's my coach? I wouldn't be here without my coach. I feel like this is gonna be another All-Star moment moment with Ben's butt slap of JoJo, and we all feel fantastic after that. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up, there's one more little story we got to get into because it's rather unfortunate. And ladies and gentlemen, it involves the medical world.
Mm.
And it involves a woman being told something she should never hear from a doctor.
Mm.
It's the disrespect is what hurts the most.
Mm.
Time at the... Time in the Fanatic 924.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
9 o'clock hour brought to you by the Baxter. Dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebaxter.com. And Trey, don't forget about the Fanatic Pro Shop. If you want to outfit yourself in some cool Fanatic and Philly sports swag, lots of Fanatic and Philly sports team themed merchandise at great prices, from hoodies to long sleeve tees, mugs, caps, phone cases, tanks, tank top.
You're a tank in the summertime, aren't you?
I am. You're damn right. I'm actually pretty much year-round. And a lot more at the Fanatic Pro Shop. They got something for everybody, including our lady listeners with unique... Of course we are lady listeners. Unique Fanatic and Philly designs as well. Ooh, it's a lady. Go to 975thefanatic.com and check out the Fanatic Pro Shop. Open right now at 975thefanatic.com. Now, there's a story I saw yesterday, and I gotta say, it got me. It really grabbed me with the headline here. And I need Sam in here for this one. So, Sam, if you could come up to the mic there for a second. The headline in the New York Post is, "Doctor refused to remove my breast implants to avoid ruining my Sports Illustrated body."
I don't think that's really his territory to decide.
I would agree with you. So as it turns out, there's a fitness influencer named Beck Dolan, Becky, I assume, and she said, I think she's based out of Australia.
Call me back. My friends call me back.
What the hell is that? What is that from?
I don't know. That's just how I heard you read that.
My friends call me back.
I'm trying to, this is a story.
Sorry, this is serious.
Serious.
Just call me back.
It does sound like.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Well, call me back.
My name's Becky, but my friends call me back.
I love that that's from nothing. He just created it.
That's just how Jamie's mind
that's
operates.
That's how my brain works.
We were all just taken inside the brain of Jamie right there. This story's being assaulted, Jamie. What the hell's the matter with you?
The doctor's a creep.
Thank you. Now I can't stop thinking of that.
Poor Beck.
All right, so anyway, Beck's trying to just be a fitness model, okay, you jerk?
He's like, wait a minute, you want me to take these out?
Yes.
You for real?
These are lovely.
Trey, don't do that with your hands.
When I was running in here, I missed what the doctor say. What did
Okay, so the doctor told this lady, this nice lady, Beck, who's 33 years old, she's a fitness influencer, is how she's being described in the New York Post. He told her, she went in to say, hey, I got these breast implants like 10 years ago, and now I'm convinced that they're making me ill. Like, she's physically feeling sick. So she says to this doctor guy, she says, hey, I need you to remove these because I think they're making me sick. The doctor then says, but that would ruin your Sports Illustrated body. So he does not do the surgery to remove the breast implants.
He refused to?
He said no.
He refused.
Because she apparently is lovely, and she has the breast implants, and he doesn't want to take them out because it would ruin her body. I will say this. Looking at pictures of her body, she's a beautiful body.
Yeah, but that's not his call at all, especially if it's causing health problems, and she personally wants them out.
Definitely with
you on this
one.
He's on the phone. That's why he's not doing it.
Yes, queen. You need a new doctor, Beck.
That's
shouldn't be
insane.
Going to that guy anyway.
I wish the story ended with like Beck body slamming this dumbass doctor.
That's borderline, I don't want to say loss of license, but what the hell is
almost
this guy talking?
Loss of license.
Yeah. What the hell are you talking about?
Like, okay.
Against her health, and he refuses to help her health just because he thinks she looks good?
Because he's horny. You can't have horny doctors.
No.
Like, look at this. Look at this. I put that proper placement right there.
Well, I don't think it's my art.
Yeah, I don't think it's the same doctor, by the way, that actually did the implants. Okay. I think it's a different doctor that would be taking the implants out.
You cannot be a horny doctor.
No, that'd be... I agree with you. Let me go out on a limb.
How
and
you
say,
argue
I
with that?
You know, that's a great point, Jamie.
You shouldn't be anything horny in an occupation, really, you know?
I agree, Sam.
Porn star?
Well, what about...
Well, there are some occupations.
Okay, so there are some occupations.
Sam, what about that hub you were telling us about earlier?
MLB freaks. Hashtag MLB freaks.
Anyway, so I don't know how necessarily this ends, but the lady said that she loved her implants, but she chose health over aesthetics.
Smart decision.
Yeah, that's smart.
That's such a Beck thing to say.
Look at these. They are built for speed.
According to social media now, it's more of a Karen thing to say. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My mom's name's Karen.
Does she ask to see the manager a lot?
I don't know.
I love the things to say. Oh, look at that, a table of Karens over there. My sister-in-law is Karen, and she's the sweetest person on earth.
That's good.
I don't think she's ever even talked to a manager.
You can't be a Karen.
Your freaky cousin's name, too?
No, Bob.
All right, we
nice
can eliminate
try.
Karen.
Yeah,
good
job. If you're a Karen out there, you just can't ask to see managers ever.
No, it's over.
You're a walking hysterical.
Because once you say your name, they're like, of course that's your name.
Of course you're Karen.
Because I'm the manager.
My friends call me Kara.
It's Kara, not Karen, just in case. Every woman that's not in on the joke named Karen is so offended right now. All right, Mark in South Philly. What's up, Mark? You know, Mark, hold on 1 second, as a matter of fact. Beck looks like Kendall Jenner, by the way.
She's gorgeous.
She's lovely. Lovely. All
Wait,
right.
What's her Instagram name? I want to look her up.
Whoa, Sam. A little stalking there.
Down. I want to see what she
actually
looks like.
Actually, for the purposes of this conversation.
No horniness.
Yeah, I'm just a journalist. A journalist.
Relax a little bit. There's a lot of aggression in your voice on that.
What's wrong with you guys? Beck Donlin. D-O-N-L-A-N. All the guys at home like, oh, I got it now.
Yeah.
All right. All right. I think I missed my guy. Whatever. So that's kind of what happened right there. But anyway, Bob, I hope the Sixers win tomorrow night, don't you?
Can't wait.
No, we haven't got into it enough earlier in the show today. But what was great was watching the Flyers win last night. That's what was great.
Well, number 11's on the ice.
Number 11 looks spectacular.
Yeah.
And I lost our caller there.
So
it hurt my transition, so I'm sorry. But no, you love seeing it. And last night, you see our man Carter Hart and Nett looking phenomenal at home, as per usual.
They look good.
And
yep.
they again, last night, put up the splits of Carter Hart home versus away.
What is it with our professional athletes, home and away disparities?
They love us, Bob.
Is that what it is?
There's something about the Wells Fargo Center for the Sixers and the Flyers, because Carter Hart is 14-2-2 away. Or excuse me, 14-2-2 at home. And then on the road, he's 3-10-1 on the road. Goals against average goes up more than 2 goals on the road, and his save percentage drops nearly 100 points.
That's unbelievable.
What?
What is his goals against on the road?
His goals against is 387.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, is it over 4?
No, it's 387,
wow.
Yeah.
No explanation for it whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
It's mind-boggling to me, as a matter of fact. Let's get to David in Burlington. What's up, David?
Hey, how are you guys?
Great.
Good morning.
Great, man. What's going on?
I'm all right. Actually, I think this might be my first time calling.
Oh, wow.
I was watching the All-Star game around a bunch of non-Sixers fans, and I was having my typical Joel Embiid complaints. And then after a few minutes of everyone else in the room looking at me like I was stupid, I began to realize maybe his fans were going too far with the critique of Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons and the team in general, because everyone else looked at me like, what are you complaining about? Like, I'm like, oh, JoJo should go down low. And they're like, all the players are up top. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We're watching the All-Star game. They're like, I'm like, JoJo needs to be aggressive. They're like, they're giving him the ball every time. He's keeping him in the game with free throws, to the point I realize I'm going too far. And then yesterday I read an article by Marcus Hayes where he's name calling. And I'm going, am I wrong in thinking that maybe we're all allowing a national narrative to direct us, because it wouldn't make sense for anyone else outside of Philly who didn't support the quote unquote process to see them work. So of course they would want to see them fail. But am I wrong in thinking that maybe we in Philadelphia are going too far?
Going too far with what though?
Over critiquing?
With the over, yeah, I think it's like the over criticism, the over critique. I mean, we talk about no,
I don't think we are. You know why? As far as name calling goes, I haven't read the article, so I can't reference that.
Yeah,
but
he called him goofball. Like he said, he called Joe goofball and Ben.
But
yeah, I'm like, bro, you're treat
them like kids. And,
you're an experienced journalist. Like I get it, you can critique, but the name calling. And that's what I mean. I feel like in the city that we're kind of like, at what point do we rally? I'm the type of guy that in adversity, I'm a filmmaker, and I'm a teacher as well. And during adversity, I rally the troops. We can criticize, but at some point, we're going in the second half of the season. When do we stop and go, okay, these two dudes are all-stars, and we know that they want it. You can tell they want it. They just may not know how to go about it at 25 and 23 yet. Mm-hmm. But at what point do we in the city go, okay, these are our guys. We hear what you all are saying out there, but we're going to rally around our guys. Or do we just keep criticizing until...
Right. No, I don't, look, name calling, I'm not going there, and if that's what's happening, but I think our criticism, what we bring up on the show and what callers call in and what you have just talked about, it's all legitimate. Like it's legit.
Yeah,
like look, I was just going back and forth with people on Twitter about whether or not Ben Simmons works hard. I think the guy works his ass off. I think the guy is a hungry basketball player. There is one aspect of the game that is a big aspect of the game, the biggest aspect of the game that he needs to work on more and he needs to implement into his everyday game, and that's the jump shot. But I'm not denying that Ben Simmons is an elite defender, a good rebounder, as a point, great rebounder as a point guard, and a guy that does stuff that stat sheet. Because he doesn't shoot 20 shots a game doesn't mean he's not working hard.
Agreed.
All right.
Agreed.
Hey, David, so you're a hoops guy. You want to go see Temple basketball play tomorrow night?
Sure, why not?
You're going to the game, David. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Temple men's basketball with head coach Aaron McKee taking on UConn tomorrow night, February 20th at 7 p.m. at the Lee Acora Center. For tickets, go to owlsticks.com. When we come back, we'll get a little bit more into those Flyers in that game last night because it was a nice little victory for them. We'll get into that in a second here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Flyers pick up their 72nd and 73rd points on the season. Great win. 5-1 victory. We mentioned Carter Hart. What we haven't talked about enough was the great assist from Claude Giroux from his knees to TK to Jake Voracek. Back of the net goal. On that play, Claude Giroux passes Bobby Clark for the all-time leader of power play assists in Flyers history. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Not too bad for him. TK continues a great run that he's been able to put together this season as well. The Flyers, look, Alain Vigneault told us months ago this team is going to the playoffs, and it looks like a guy is going to keep his word right there. Earlier in the show, we referenced somebody on Twitch that was watching our program from France. And I can't believe this. We're about to go to France and talk to our friend Polo.
I hope I have that right.
We'll see if you have this right. Polo, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic from France. What's up, Polo?
How are you doing? I apologize for my accent.
Don't you apologize.
Bonjour.
I just wanted to say to you that I'm very happy to have stumbled upon your channel. And I have a new team now, Philadelphia.
Philadelphia is your team.
There you go.
Philadelphia is Polo's team. Awesome. Now I saw this, Polo. I don't know what the on air rules are in France, but in America we can't. No cursing on the air here, unfortunately. Polo just. I told Polo I was probably going to go to Paris, and he told me Paris sucks in French. Could you just say Paris sucks in French in your accent one more time?
Paris, c'est de la merde.
Yeah. I think Paris is a beautiful area.
Oh, okay. I haven't been there yet.
It's southern
France.
I'm
looking forward to it.
Now, where are you at in France there, Polo?
I'm from Marseille, south of France.
Marseille.
Marseille?
Yes, yes.
Marseille,
yes, yes, yes. So you're saying it right. Okay. I apologize, guys, for because I think your listener will hate me for my accent. I apologize, but I'm so happy to have you online.
No, no, we're happy to have you.
Happy to have
you. Yeah, we're happy to be provided for you on Twitch. This is pretty awesome. Now, Polo, how did you stumble across us? How did you find us on Twitch?
Actually, it was my day off. Mm-hmm. And I started drinking wine at 11 a.m. Because it's my day off, you know, like I am in my underwear and...
That's what's up.
We do that in France, you know, like...
Yeah, day drinking.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to take a day, a slow day, you know?
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
What's really underwear, wine, yeah, how can you not find us?
That's a party.
And I stumbled upon your Twitch, and you guys are very nice there. 975 The Fanatic...
Already,
nice.
What you can't tell on Twitch, Polo, is that we too are in our underpants. We just have shirts on. So in France, what is it like? 3 in the afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
I don't know. I didn't. It's four.
Oh, okay. All right.
He's been drinking since the morning. Yeah, so he's not sure what time it is.
Well, Polo,
it's time to put your pants on.
Oh man, hang out, man. Do you?
Yeah, right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Polo, don't be a stranger. Thanks for calling in. We good talking to you. And yeah, call us whenever.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys.
Merci beaucoup.
You're awesome.
A bientôt. Awesome.
I'm very happy that you understand my English.
Thank you. Enchanté. Enchanté.
Merci.
Bye-bye. All right, take it easy, Polo. Thank you. I think we were really impressive with our French talk.
I think so.
How we talked the French.
I was Googling stuff while we were...
I know enchanté, I know merci beaucoup, and je t'aime le fromage. I think is I love cheese.
That might have been my favorite. How did you find this? Well, it was my day off. I started drinking wine in the a.m. and I was in my underwear.
Just chilling in my drawers. Just hanging out.
Hey, Bobby, not for nothing. We do set the mood. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just hanging out in my underwear. That's what I like to do.
Sam, I believe our Twitter poll today was, will a person from France call us? It's 100% yes. And who brings us that Twitter poll?
Our first 100%er.
There we go.
Yeah. Brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment, no payments, and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
And Sam,
you know what
just
did.
What's that?
That took us worldwide.
Worldwide. That's my takeaway of the day. Farzetta and Trey is now worldwide.
We're now global.
Yeah.
Worldwide.
Shout out Polo. He was awesome.
Thanks, Twitch. back. What do you have?
My takeaway of the day is my name is James, but since you're my friend, just call me Jamie.
You shut your mouth, Karen. All right.
I want to welcome a new voice to the show. Trey's undercarriage.
Yeah.
Good to hear from you after all this time.
Yeah.
After those Peloton sessions, you might need a friend.
A lot going on right there. Trey?
Hey, man. Happy hump day! Welcome to the show, Polo. That's awesome. We are worldwide, wide.
All right. Trey's undercarriage. What's your takeaway of the day?
All is well.
My takeaway of the day was going to be on how much Commissioner Rob Manfred is the commissioner for now in Major League Baseball. But I can't say it enough, and I'll say it again. Rob Manfred, got to move on. Got to move on from Rob Manfred. He can't be the commissioner of baseball anymore. After, again, here you go, embarrassing the game, belittling the ultimate prize of the game, and by really neutering any authority left in the commissioner's office after the many times it's been bent over the knee of the players' union. That was going to be my takeaway of the day, but it's a French guy called us, and I'm happy for the rest of the day. Stay tuned for the Anthony Gargano Show here on 97.5.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.